John the Baptist was, as I said before, a very prominent and irascible figure, one that many people probably found uncomfortable, and yet they were drawn to him. Jesus even asks the crowds that are gathered around him, "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind?" In other words, did you go out there to hear what you wanted to hear? Or did you go out there to hear the truth? Did you want somebody that was blown by the winds of change and the winds of popular culture? Or did you want the truth? Did you go out there to find somebody dressed in fine clothing who was going to draw you toward wealth and worldly concerns? Or rather, this guy dressed in camel's hair? You were drawn to him, he says, because you were drawn to the truth. There are many things in this world that are very good. But what our readings really center around is expectation and hope. Now, what is hope and what isn't it? What it isn't is optimism. I think I've said this before. Optimism says that, well, despite how things look right now, they're probably going to get better. Actually, they probably aren't going to get better. And I'll give you one perfect example that applies in every single one of our cases. Every one of us who is walking and talking and living and breathing will one day stop walking and talking and living and breathing in this life. We will age and we will die. That will not get better. Optimism has no place in reality, but hope does. Hope is not optimism, not placing our faith in these transitory things of the world, be they people or ourselves or our wealth or our political system or what have you. See, when we place our faith in those things, we are optimistic, and our optimism is always disappointed. Always. Because those things can't possibly last or fulfill. But hope has to do with the things of the next life, not this one. And so if we are to be people of hope, which is what the Christian is called to do, we have to place and center our hearts on that which does not perish. So, and the image that is brought to us from the first reading is so apt. The desert will spring forth, the steppe will bloom. Has anybody ever been to the desert? I'm sure most people have seen the desert. And well, many of them look pretty much like you would expect deserts to look. Lots of rock, lots of dirt, and occasionally you'll find some sort of prickly form of life that isn't necessarily all that attractive. Yes, there's life there, but is it thriving? You know, that image reminds me of a life that is lived without hope. Rather, a life that is lived with optimism, placing ourselves and our foundation on the things that pass. Yes, there's life there, but is it what it could be? But the interesting thing is that, as our first reading points out, when a little bit of rain falls in the wet season in those places, they explode with life. They explode with life, and you would not recognize it as the same place. And it strikes me that that is what the virtue of hope brings to a life. When we place ourselves in the hands of God and in His grace, then that which was prickly and barely alive blooms. So, as we wait in expectation for the Lord at Christmas, let's ask that He will wash over us with His grace, that we won't live barely alive and prickly, but that we can live blooming. Let us stand and profess our faith.